Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come in your house and be able to open your word. Help us now as we dig into the scriptures to study the word confidence so that we can build our confidence in you and in your word and in the confidence in our salvation. We thank you so much for that. And let all of it bring honor and glory to you and help us to draw closer and closer to you through the process. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Our Bible study from A to Z and the word confidence, we'll pick it up in James chapter 1, verse 1. It was James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's pause here and see this word perfect. He gives us an idea of the definition that he's using here when he says wanting nothing at the end of that verse. When you are perfect or when you have perfection is speaking of having completion, having all that you need, being complete, being filled with all that you need to do what the Lord wants you to do, and perfect in all ways, and that means fully furnished. So that's what he's speaking of here. And through the process of our trials, our temptations, the obstacles, the challenges, we grow and we gain things that we need, therefore getting us closer and closer to perfection in the sense of having completion or being complete, fully furnished. As we continue, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. See, now he's going into the list of things that if you're lacking, then you need to ask for it to achieve perfection. We normally think of perfection as being somebody who is flawless, but that's not how we see the word perfect or perfection used in most places in the scriptures, because it's speaking of having things that you need to do the things that the Lord wants you to do, as well as to have a God-glorifying life. When you are fully furnished, then you are perfect in that. It isn't that you have become flawless. So don't misunderstand the use of the word perfect here. Because now he goes into the list. If you are, he mentions a few things here. If we are lacking things, which wisdom being one of the most important things, if we have wisdom, then we'll have the understanding that we need to ask for the right things and to seek the right things so that we can be on the right pathway and be doing the kind of work we're supposed to be doing in the way we're supposed to be doing it. Verse 4 again, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. This upbraideth not, you don't get ridiculed or criticized for asking for wisdom. That's what he's speaking of. You're not going to be ridiculed by God or criticized by God or condemned by God because you come to him and ask for something. He wants us to humbly come to him and ask for whatever it is we might need. And he'll give it to us liberally. He'll give it more than what we can even imagine when we truly and sincerely humbly come to him and ask for it in his will and his way. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right, let's look at this a little deeper here so that we can have some understanding of this last few verses here. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. When we come to the Lord, ask in faith of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. It isn't that your faith has to be in that you are so faithful that you have earned the privilege to be given something that you have, that you deserve because your faith is so great. And then everything that we receive would be based on our works. Rather than being based on the faith that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we come to Him in full faith, then He is going to give us what we need. Even if we in ourselves have a little bit of doubt of our own abilities or what we can do, we can stand solid and firm on our faith and trust in the ability of Jesus Christ. But when he gets on down in here about, for he that wavereth is like a wave, wavering in his faith of Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, that's somebody who hasn't truly been born again. A double-minded man is like he mentions the Lord teaching himself. He speaks of how we cannot serve God and mammon. That would be a double-minded person. Divided between, well, maybe I'll serve God, maybe I'll serve my own selfish needs and seek fortunes in this realm. They haven't given their lives over to Jesus Christ yet. They're just playing the part of a Christian. And that's what you can take from this here. Is someone who truly has faith in Jesus Christ will receive what he needs to do the task that the Lord wants him to do. So keep your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he will make you perfect in that way, fully furnished to do what he has ordained you individually to do. And in here, in other places, he even tells us that if we lack faith to ask for it, he can increase our faith. But it's the faith. Keep that in mind, that the faith is in your Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the key. And if you do not have the faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't expect to get anything from him. Because he's not going to give blessings to the ungodly that are out there that are asking for things. Until they come to him and repent and ask for forgiveness, then he will bless them. Does that mean that ungodly people don't have things that we would consider a blessing? No, like we've been learning in the writings of Solomon. There are ungodly people that have got all kinds of what we would consider blessings by the grace of God. There's a purpose behind that. We can't always comprehend or understand why they have received such things. We'll figure that out later. We'll be revealed to that. But know that if you have a friend or associate or yourself, that if you don't truly, fully, and completely trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you go into him and praying for prosperity, for healing, or anything like that, forget it. Don't expect it. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So, fully trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and he will fully furnish you with everything you need to be the person that he wants you to be, to bring honor and glory to his name. All right, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. This is an awesome chapter that gives us the assurance, gives us a lot to look forward to, lets us have a little bit of prophecy here about things in the last days, and can build our confidence in what we are looking forward to be fulfilled in the way that is going to be fulfilled. And he starts out, this is Peter writing this, and he starts out addressing an issue that has come about people that had believed and were false teachers about the events of the last days. Chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 reads, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." In other words, remember the prophecies, reemphasizing the importance of knowing the prophecies of what is going to occur in the future. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." We see a lot of that going on. So we know we got to be in the midst of the last days. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. He's pointing out one of the things that the false teachers have gotten a hold of. The false teachers of the world, the false teachers of the secular world, the ungodly world, as well as many of the false teachers that are within the so-called Christian world, don't believe in a worldwide flood. Don't believe that there was such judgment to come upon the planet that he killed every man, woman, and child and air-breathing creature on the planet except what he preserved in that ship. They don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe that God's capable of such judgment. Because if he's capable of such judgment, then they're in a heap of trouble. So they try not to believe that. So they teach others their lies so that they feel more comfortable when more people join their false belief. It makes them feel more comfortable. Thinking that, oh, okay, more people are believing this, it must be something to it. And then they start beginning to believe their own lies. But when you look around in the world and see so much evidence of a worldwide flood, you got to really scratch your head and wonder how anybody could ever think that there wasn't the event of the worldwide flood. And we could go all day about talking about the evidences of that. But as he continues here, he addresses what the situation is in verse 7 here. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. What word is that? The word is Jesus Christ. By his word, he spoke everything into existence. By his word, the great worldwide flood occurred. By his word, all that is in existence is held into existence. And as it says, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There is a set time for the judgment of all the ungodly. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is outside of time. He spoke time into existence. He is not controlled by time. He controls time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. What's his promise? I come quickly. He says that over and over through the scriptures. And we look back, it's 2,000 years since he was telling the apostles that he was coming quickly. They were so looking forward to his return and anticipating it that they went many years without even writing any of the scriptures down, the books that we have, the gospels and so forth, because they thought he was coming back and there was no need to write it all down. And then they began to realize that he was telling them to go ahead and write it all down, record it for others, because he's patiently waiting for more to come in to know him as Lord and Savior, as it says here. But the beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that, excuse me, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Patience is what he's expressing, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That should give us confidence in the love and the grace of Jesus Christ, that he's patiently waiting for more to come to know him before the judgments. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everything in existence is going to melt away. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? There's a false teaching that has been out for quite some time and is still being broadcast by the radio and internet. Some preachers that have since passed away that used to teach that this world was going to be, the planet that we are on now is going to be the planet that we will spend eternity on. The Lord is merely going to scorch the surface and then restore things. What does this say? It says it's going to melt away the elements. That's what everything's made up of. Saying that all these things shall be dissolved. It means all of creation is going to be dissolved, as he further explains in verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He repeats it. The elements. That's the particle. That's everything, the matter that everything is made up of. And in the heavens. Talking about all of cosmos. Everything. All the planets. All the galaxies. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's where we can hold our confidence. Confident in knowing that all of this sinful, cursed world is going to be destroyed completely, melted away, even the elements, and there's going to be a brand new one, a brand new heaven, a brand new earth. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. If we live the kind of life that we're supposed to live, trust completely and totally in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, we can be confident in a day of judgment that we are going to stand there or kneel there or face Him and be found blameless. Verse 15, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Another warning in there about the false teachings, about those that have drifted away. Don't follow those that have drifted away. Stand on the accuracy of the Word of God. He's reinforcing the dependability of the writings of Paul as well. The scriptures that we have are so awesome. Study them so that we can have the information that we need to be able to bring honor and glory to Him. And to be able to be there and be blameless, we can stand on the confidence of our salvation. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. By studying the Word of God, in learning it, trusting it, believing it, we can have the assurance of our salvation. We can have confidence in our salvation. We can have confidence in the Word and have confidence in our Lord. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. When we come to Him in faith of Him as our Lord and Savior, ask of Him things that are within His will, as it says, according to His will, He hears us. And he's going to give us everything that we need to be able to fulfill his will and to do the things that he has available for us to do, to build up rewards for us, and to bring honor and glory to him and his name, and to reach others before it may be everlasting too late. Turn back over to 1 John chapter 1. We've got to know that there is an opportunity to be found blameless. So if you are a Christian and you have messed up, you have backslidden, you have gotten back into your evil ways, repent of that, turn to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse 9 there especially is one that can really build your confidence in the fact that you can be cleaned of everything that you've ever done wrong, of all your sins. As we've studied earlier, as far as the east is from the west, taken from you, that it will remember no more, wiped out, completely gone. And that's the way we want to be. That's the way that we can be found blameless. We bring it to the Lord, and get it confessed, get it washed, get it gone. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. We have the guidelines. We have the information that we need to be able to walk a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord and stays out of sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Going out to all those backsliders out there that have messed up, that have stumbled, that have gotten away from the Lord. Don't stay down there and wallow around in the sin. Don't stay dirty, wallowing in the mud and in your misery as your life all around you crumbles and falls apart. And you wonder, well, why is this happening to you? Well, you did it. It's your fault. It's the chastisement that comes upon you. It's the grace being pulled back. It's the blessings being pulled back because you become disobedient. Don't expect a disobedient child to be nurtured and tended to and given extra blessings. They're going to get chastised. And if we do that, what does it say? And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We can be confident knowing that if we do mess up, if we do stumble, if we goof up one way or the other, the Holy Ghost is going to let us know. Plus, we can look around and see our lives, how it starts to get messed up, how our relationships get messed up, our marriages get messed up, our finances get messed up, our health gets messed up. We're wondering, why is all this coming upon you? Well, it's self-inflicted most of the time. Get it right with the Lord. Get it washed in the blood. Come back to the Lord and receive more blessings. Get it taken care of. He tells us he's already paid for all that. Just take it to him and get it taken care of. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We're going to bear the fruits of a Christian if we are truly a Christian. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Walk as Jesus Christ walked. That's our guidelines. That's our example. Don't look at any man or woman on the planet as your example to live up to or to be like or to immolate or to praise or to be your hero. Don't do it. You'll mess up. Look at Jesus Christ. That's who we've got to look to be like, not like anybody else. Even if you might see somebody who's doing something that you admire, that's fine if you admire it. But what you see that is really honorable would be something that they're doing that is like Jesus Christ. So then you are looking at Jesus Christ. So keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, not any other individual. No matter how much you might think that they have it all worked out and they're doing things so well, you start putting your faith and your trust in another individual on this planet, you're going to get disappointed. You're going to see something. You're going to hear something. Something's going to happen and you'll be disappointed. And that can, if you have lifted that person up too much in your own eyes, crush you. So don't do that. Don't ever lift anybody else up like that. If they are so puffed up with pride they try to get people to praise them or give them honor, then they're on the wrong pathway to begin with. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, nobody else. And walk like He walks. And then we can have that confidence when we stand before Him and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's look at a couple more here. We got a couple more minutes to give us some real confidence in what we have to look forward to as Christians. One of my favorite sections of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." Another reference to it being totally destroyed, wiped out, gone, and brand new ones He's going to build for us. "And there was no more sea." Even the sea that we see now, all of it's gone. All of it melted away, gone. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away.' And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And He said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.'" Chapter 22, verse 20. "He that testifieth these things saith, 'Surely I come quickly.'" Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, all of it, from the beginning all the way through the end. If we study it, we can build that confidence that we need to be able to be on the pathway you want us to be on. And please do give all of us that confidence. Confidence in your word, confidence in our salvation, and help us to share that with others so that they also can come in and be a part of your family. We thank you so much for all you give us. And help us to utilize it to bring the honor and glory that we should every moment of our existence. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.